Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus, for this. I want to just finish off, basically cap off my message. I had the last few messages that I had was the difference between the second coming of Christ and the rapture, which clear difference. Bible indicates a clear difference. Today I'll finish it off with the second coming, or no, the rapture, and what the Bible says about it. It's going to be a short message to the point. And you'll notice that there's a huge contrast between what's happening to the tribulation saints and what we're in now. And again, I want to repeat, we do not say that we will not have tribulation. This is not about this. The Bible says all those that live godly lives in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution or tribulation, however you want to put it. But the great tribulation is not the same. That's God's wrath upon the ungodly. And keep in mind, there's going to be lots of people that are going to get saved during that time. As a matter of fact, the number is so vast that it couldn't even be numbered by John when he asked him to number it. That's how many people get saved during the Great Tribulation, which is the 70 weeks missing from Daniel or from the Jews, where God turns his attention to the Gentiles and then returns it after the rapture back to the Jews again to finish the 70 weeks of Daniel, spoken of in Daniel. But before I get into my message, let us rise and ask the Lord for his blessings. For without the Spirit of the Lord, there is no life. Holy Spirit, we ask you, Father, that you will, Father, you will ask that your Holy Spirit will be here and present, tangible. Lord Jesus, that we know that we are in your presence and that you can be felt and that you can touch every heart, if they're only there, to allow you to penetrate the deep pride of our own minds. So, Lord Jesus, you're welcome here. Angels, you're on assignment to be around everyone here, that Satan can have no influence in any mind, heart, or soul. In Jesus' name I pray this. Thank you, Lord. You may be seated. So I'm going to start reading out of Matthew 24, verse 36 to 51 out of the King James Version. It starts like this. Just before that, he was speaking of all the bad things that are going to happen. It's going to be so bad that this world has never seen something like that. And it was bad in Egypt when the plagues came when the Israelites were in Egypt. It was bad in Egypt. But this, it says, Jesus had said it was so bad, it has never been that bad, nor will it ever become that bad, unless in hell. So this is, then Jesus, it changes. This is what he says now. He says, but of that day and hour knows no man. No, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. There's a surprise coming. And then it's life as usual, life as we see it now. But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. That means the rapture. That's not the second coming. It says, for as in the days that were before the flood, guess what they were doing? Like now, they were eating, they were drinking. Will they be doing that during the tribulation? They'll be eating and drinking, but the believers will not be thinking about that. They'll be running for their lives and giving their heads for their faith. Here it's different. As in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking. They were marrying, they were giving in marriage. Until that day, Noah entered into the ark, until the rapture. Then they knew not until the flood came. And then the tribulation came and they took them all away, and so shall be the coming of the Son of Man be. It'll be a surprise. And then there's this part of it here. Then shall be two in the field, one shall be taken, the other left. Two women shall be grinding at a mill, and one shall be taken, and the other left. And he says, watch therefore, for you do not know that hour your Lord does come. So he's saying, this is now, watch, we do not know. There is nothing that will warn us other than us being ready. And continuing in the same chapter there, but know this, that if the good men of the house had known in what watch the thief would come, he would have watched and would have not allowed his house to be broken up. So again, there's a surprise coming, just like a thief in the night. Therefore, be also ready, for in such an hour as you think not the Son of Man comes. This is not the great tribulation. It does not happen then there. There is no way the Antichrist will be wreaking havoc here on this planet. It's not the same times. There'll be good times. People will, and as I'll read, you'll see there'll be pleasures to be had. You'll be caught up, could be caught up with drunkenness or with gluttony or whatever pleasures you like to be involved in. And then it says here, who then is the faithful and wise servant whom his Lord has made ruler over his household to give him meat in due season? Blessed is that servant whom his Lord, when he comes, shall find so doing. That in other words, putting it short, be found in doing the works of the Lord. Be found in doing what he wants you to do. And you will not be caught up in the pleasures of life or anyway, it's in the lust thereof. And he says, verily I say unto you that he shall make him ruler over all his goods. But if that evil servant, remember, he still calls him a servant, but he's got evil thinking is bad, shall say in his heart, oh, my Lord delays his coming. He's not going to come now. It's going to be another 100 or 2,000 years. He can't come now. We have to go through the tribulation first. My Lord delays his coming and shall begin to smite his fellow servants and eat and drink with the drunken. Then it says, the Lord of that servant shall come in a day when he looks not for him, and in an hour when he is not aware of. There is no such thing in the great tribulation. This is before. This is now. This could be any minute. This could be today. It's in an hour that he is not aware of, and he shall cut him asunder and appoint him his portion with the hypocrites. One day I'll get into a message about that. That does not mean exactly what you think it means, but that's for a message for another time. And then there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth, concluding Matthew verse 51. And then in Luke 21, 24, verse 36, very well quoted scripture, especially by me and others of Pastor Dave, and a lot of people have mentioned that scripture, but I'll start in verse 34. And it says, and take heed to yourselves, lest at any time your hearts be overcharged with surfeiting, which means overindulging in whatever, usually overeating, or in pleasures of this life, and in drunkenness, cares of this life, even the cares of this life. So that day come upon you unaware. Watch. And then I'll go on to say that this is not the case in the great tribulation. You will not be taken up in drunkenness and the cares of this life, where that day will take you unaware. This is talking about a time like in the days of Noah or even the days of Lot. They were eating, they were drinking, they were doing all kinds of, even Lot was vexed. His righteous soul was vexed with the deeds of the ungodly, of the wicked. And God, before he poured out his judgment and his wrath, he had to remove Lot. He says, I can do nothing till you're out of the city. And then his wrath came down and it was a swift judgment. And so the same with Noah. Before God started the flood, he had, and this, historians say they even left the gate open because Noah did not close the door to the ark. It was God who did it. And when it began to rain, it was over for them. And it says, for as a snare shall it come upon all them that dwell on the face of the earth. I am a trapper. I know what a snare does. Animal comes along, is on a trail, he's happy. Next thing you know, he's caught and he can't get loose. And that is how quickly it works. And then it says in verse 36, watch you therefore and pray always. That means do the things of God. Be ready that you may be accounted worthy to escape all these things. Then you have to ask what things that shall come to pass. You have to read in context what he was talking about just before this scripture. He was talking about the awful things that will come to the inhabitants of this planet. And then what's going to happen when you watch and pray? It says you will escape all these things that shall come to pass and to stand where? Before the Son of Man. That's in heaven. You'll be with him. And then I'll go into 1 John chapter 3, verse 2 and 3, you know, the King James Version. It says, beloved, now are we the children of God, and it does not yet appear what we shall be, but we know this, that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Now, this is my point here, the next verse. And every man that has this hope in him purifies himself even as Jesus is pure. So what does this mean here? If you in your heart know, for example, let's say you're working for a company and you see your boss coming through the company, and then you say, wow, I've got better work and look busy here. I'm going to apply myself so the boss thinks I'm a good worker. See, our boss is watching us all the time. You don't have an earthly boss who just walks through maybe two or three times through the shop floor and sees, oh, man, this guy is a good worker. Meanwhile, the supervisor sees you work, and he sees you work half the time. But that's beside the point. What I'm getting at, our boss, which is our Heavenly Father, sees us all the time. And if you have his second appearing, or that you could be gone any minute, in mind, and it's deeply rooted in your heart, that can happen any time, guess how you'll conduct yourself? You'll be working, you'll be doing, you'll be asking for the power of the Holy Ghost to do what you need to do. Don't do it on your own power. That's one thing I want to tell you, because you'll burn out very quickly. The disciples were told by Jesus, don't do anything until, leave Jerusalem till you're endued with power from on high. You need a partner in this game, in this work. There's only one way that you can accomplish what God wants you to accomplish, and that is less of you and more of him. And that's the only way you will get to do the work of God and finish the work of God and hear, well done, my good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a few things. I will make you a ruler over many things. May the Lord bless you with this message and open your heart to what is real. We want to be real. Be real. Don't be a hypocrite. Be real with the things that Jesus has given you. May the Lord bless you.
Hallelujah. I'm going to teach on a subject that is not talked about very much. When will it happen? It could happen pretty soon. It could happen after the rapture. I kind of know it's not going to happen during the tribulation. That's the horrible battle of Magog and Magog. God is bringing the Russians and all those nations around Israel to come and fight, to come and show what kind of weapons they have. And God will show them what kind of weapons he has. That's going to be fun to watch. His weapons, they come from on high, and they're pretty heavy. You know what they're made of? Ice. About 100 pounds of it at a shot coming through this ceiling. Wouldn't be a good feeling. There's another thing here. God never decrees anything. He always has one of his servants to decree a judgment. He doesn't decree it. He has somebody in the family of people to decree it, because that's our job. That's what he ordained us to do, and we need to be busy about that. So what the decree here, it happened thousands of years ago. Ezekiel 38 in verse 1, and the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, set thy face against Gog, the land of Magog, the chief prince of Meshach and Tubal, and prophesy against him, and say, Thus saith the Lord, Behold, I'm against thee, O God, Gog, thou chief prince of Meshach and Tubal. I will turn thee back, and put hooks into thy jaws, and will bring thee forth, and all thine army, horses, horsemen, and all them clothed with all sorts of armor, even a great company with bucklers, shields, all of them handling swords. I don't know what John saw as far as armor was concerned, or horses. Could have been horses, some of them, but I'm sure he saw tanks and helicopters coming towards Israel. Remember, Israel is just a small sliver of what it's supposed to be. And it says, you will fall in the hills of Israel. You will fall in the hills. I personally believe before they even reach Israel, God is going to start hitting them. And Ezekiel 39, repeat again. Therefore, thou son of man, prophesy against Gog and say, thus saith the Lord God, behold, I'm against thee, O Gog, and the chief prince of Meshach and Tubal. Who are they? Russia. They're all worried about Russia fighting in the Ukraine. What I'm worried about a little bit, not worried, but kind of glad that they took Crimea. What's Crimea? Anybody even knows about stuff like that? Crimea is a port where they can load up their soldiers and drive straight to where? Straight down to Israel. That's what Russia wants, Crimea, without any resistance. And he's got it already. And he's also got parts of Syria. He's got parts of the Mediterranean. What is he doing there? What's his business there? He's got one thing in mind, and that's to fight and to attack Israel. Will he make it? Well, I read the end of the story. He's in for a sad fight. They're going to be killed, millions of them. And I will turn thee back and leave how many left? 1/6 of them. So you can figure out how many will be left. Not many to go home and report on the battle. 1/6 of them. And will cause thee to come up from the north parts and will bring thee upon the mountains of Israel. And I will smite thy bow out of thy left hand and will cause thine arrow to fall out of thy right hand. They will even be paralyzed. And when you start reading Daniel, the awful explanation he has of that fight, when you read Zechariah, it says they will drop to the ground before their tongue even melts out of their mouths. So God is going to use something supernatural that's going to be horrific. There's not going to be pulling back, because his fury will come up in his face and he will fight like a madman. When his fury comes up in his face, you know that God is not playing kindergarten anymore. It's time to get rid of those despots who've been trying to get rid of his people. And I have a slight feeling that's what you're going to see in America, and that's what you're going to see in Canada. God taking care of those despots who are trying to rule and reign here. This is God's property, not their property. God created it, not them. And God is going to keep his own, especially with his own children, on it. He's going to make sure it's his. And they're going to reap the benefit. Hallelujah. Isn't that great? We're going to reap the benefit of this world. And God is going to renew it. Hallelujah. And I will smite the bow out of thy left hand, and will cause thine arrow to fall out of thy right hand. Thou shalt fall upon the mountains of Israel, thou and all thy bands, and the people that is with thee. That's Iran, Iraq, that's going to be Ethiopia, You study that and you know which nations are going to go against God. It's going to be awful and it's going to be terrible. Listen to this. And all thy bands and the people that is with thee, and I will give thee unto the ravenous birds of every sort and to the beasts of the field to be devoured. Thy shall fall upon the open of the field to be devoured. Thou shalt fall upon the open field, for I have spoken it, saith the Lord God. So it's coming, maybe even before the rapture. We may see it on our 50-inch screens. Hallelujah. So get yourself a TV if you want to watch. I'll be watching it. It's going to be awesome. Them people just being destroyed left and right. Why? Because up till now, they've come against God. And God, I'm not going to use barn words, but God is going to be fiery red in the face. He's going to be mad. And he's going to be bloody by the time this is over. Now listen to this. And they that dwelt, it's not going to happen during the tribulation. Why? Because during the tribulation, Israel is going to run for its life. It's got 7 years. Now listen to this. And they that dwell in the cities of Israel shall go forth, and they shall set fire and burn the weapons. What kind of fire that would be, I don't know. Both the shields, the bucklers, the bows and arrows, the hand staff and the spears, and they shall burn them for how long? With fire for 7 years. That's going to be awesome. Interesting. And then look at this. And it shall come to pass in that day that I will give unto Gog a place there of graves. Like a grave. Anybody's been to a grave site? That's what Russia is going to have for a grave site. It's the future in Israel. At least he's in Israel. But hallelujah, he's going to be dead. But regardless where he is, he's not only in Israel, he's in the lake of fire. And it shall come to pass in that day that I will give unto Gog a place there of graves in Israel, the valley of the passengers on the east of the sea. It shall stop the noses of the passengers. Those that walk by are going to hold their noses. Why? Anybody ever smelled a dead animal? They're going to hold their noses as they walk past, because it's going to be an awful smell of thousands and thousands of dead soldiers. This is what's waiting for them. They don't see it now, but they are playing right into the hands of God. So if you watch Russia, Crimea, all those nations getting ready, uniting together, if you watch it on the news, they're already united. They got one thing in mind, not what you hear on the news, to make a better country out of that place. No, to have one currency. No, they got one thing in mind, and that's to destroy Israel. Guess what? God is ahead of them. He knows exactly what they want. He knows exactly what they're going to try to do. And he's going to stop them cold in their tracks. Hailstones, 75 to 100 pounds, will hit them. Just like in the days of Joshua, it says that God killed more of those Nephilim than Joshua ever did. And this is exactly how it's going to happen in this horrifying battle. We're going to see it. We're going to watch it either from TV or from up there. But it's going to be a bloodbath. If you like action movies, well, you're going to have your full of them, fill of them by the time this is all over. And there shall they bury Gog and all his multitude, and they shall call it the Valley of Hemon Gog. In 7 months shall the house of Israel be burying them, and that they may cleanse the land. They'll have special people to bury those people that are killed, and it'll take 7 months. So this is coming in the near future, maybe even sooner than the rapture. So if you're looking for action, look more to the east, because I believe that's where it's going to start. It's going to be horrific. It's going to be horrifying. But for us who knew, who've heard about it, we will know what it's all about. We will not have to wonder like under unbeliever, what's next? Is America next? Is Canada next? No, they're not. It's just them. But Canada and America have to come down where they will not be a superpower to help Israel. And this is about the timing of it, so you can see what's happening. Look for it. Be careful. It could happen any day. I'm watching Safati on radio, on WhatsApp, or wherever he comes on. And the guy has been preaching closer and closer to the coming of Russia into the Middle East. Sometimes you hear horror stories of what's going on over there, but it's not being reported anywhere. Why? Because they don't want you to worry. They want you to worry on what's going on here. But the main thrust of the last days that'll start is Russia. We better start looking for it. Turkey is going to be involved. Iran is going to be involved. Ethiopia is going to be involved. Libya is going to be involved. All around, all those countries are going to try and hit at once. But God is faster than they are. He's going to put them down before they have a chance to even touch Israel. Hallelujah. So let the Lord open your heart to this. Listen to it. Read it. Read Daniel. Read Zechariah. Read Isaiah. Read the book of Revelation. Study it. And God will open your eyes, your heart, into what we are yet going to see. So the Lord open your heart to this and make you a blessing to yourself. Amen. Thank you.